Today on Maine Calling, aerospace in Maine. Could it be about to take off? Florida has long been at the center of the nation's aerospace landscape. It is home to the Kennedy Space Center at Cape Canaveral. But other states are now seeing more and more aerospace action as private companies build a new space sector, launching rockets for all kinds of reasons. Could this be a big part of Maine's future? There are already companies manufacturing, designing, and launching aerospace technologies here. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, we will explore this fledgling sector of Maine's economy and assess its growth potential. We'll talk with the founder of a Brunswick-based company that is testing larger rocket engines and the head of the Maine Space Grant Consortium. We'll also learn why some people believe Maine should just say no to aerospace. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling on Demand is made possible by Welch & Forbes, working with clients to manage the full range of events that come with building wealth, from investments to trustee services. More at WelchForbes.com. Maine General, with you for checkups, procedures, and everything in between. Learn more at MaineGeneral.org. And by the Maine Souvenir Shop, committed to supporting Maine artists and designers. Exchange Street in Portland, Instagram, and MaineSouvenirShop.com.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Rocket launches are not something people used to associate with Maine, but recent advances by Blue Shift Aerospace have changed that. Today, we're going to learn more about the potential for more aerospace developments in Maine. Joining me today, Sasha Derry, who is CEO of Blue Shift Aerospace, and Terry Shahada, who is Executive Director of the NASA Maine Space Grant Consortium and NASA EPSCoR program. We invite you to join the conversation. Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org. Post a comment on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. I'll give you that number again, 1-800-399-3566. Welcome to both of you. Sasha, I want to start with you. Recently, your company was in the news because you decided to abandon the plans to do a launch in Jonesport because of local opposition there. You're going to do a launch in Florida instead. But I want to back up a little bit and have you just tell us about your company. What is Blue Shift? What kind of rockets are you launching? What is their purpose? And what makes them different?
Thank you, Jennifer, very much for having us on and an opportunity to kind of share with everybody what we're working on. So first and foremost, the origins of Blue Shift really come from me growing up as a kid and loving the stars here in Maine. First and foremost, and something you can't appreciate, you know, well in other states around the union. But Blue Shift was, you know, we were fundamentally founded with the intention to demonstrate how sustainable aerospace can be done. And it all came out from a discovery in my brother's organic farm on a fuel substance, which was completely bio-derived and non-toxic, that I found out with an engineering buddy of mine from the University of Maine system that served really well as rocket fuel. And the company has grown and grown over the last several years. And we had our historic launch last year. Our rocket, 20 feet tall, was the very first rocket to be commercially launched using a fully bio-derived fuel, non-toxic, nearly carbon neutral fuel. And we're really proud of it. And that's, you know, I think that's really the tone that we're excited about here in Maine and showing that, you know, Maine, we're different here and we're doing things in a different way. And one of the most important things for us is our natural beauty and the environment around us. And that's what we, you know, what we fully embrace here at Blue Shift. And we want to demonstrate that aerospace can be done in a different, more earth responsible way.
And that first launch you talked about, that was up in Aroostook County, correct?
Yeah, that was up in Limestone, and the wonderful folks up there. We were really well received, and it was at the former Loring Air Force Base. We intended to launch in October, and instead the dead of winter is what we hit. It was such a wonderful experience. We didn't launch it the first time, weather scrubbed it the second time we did. And despite it being minus 14 degrees Fahrenheit that morning, we had 100 different cars show up from up and down the state and even outside of the state to watch this small little Maine rocket company launch a small rocket up into the air. It was really a wonderful experience.
All right. Well, Terry, I want to turn to you and I want you to put what Sasha and Blue Shift are doing into perspective. Is this, I know the answer to this, but I'm going to let you answer it. I was going to ask, is this the only company in Maine doing aerospace?
No, actually, although Sasha's company is more directly involved in space exploration and development, as we call it, there are about 85 different companies here in the state, both large and small.
I'm going to stop you. Did you say there are 85 companies in the state?
85.
Okay, go ahead.
Range from small to large companies that are either involved directly in aerospace, in the aerospace supply chain, or directly involved in space, elements of space development and exploration, like Sasha, like Vault Enterprise in Prescott, like Fiber Materials in Biddeford. So there's a small but growing number of companies that are involved in aerospace. And can I use this opportunity to kind of explain how we got involved in this?
Absolutely.
Okay, so this has been in the making because I, you know, Senator Daugherty will be on. She'll be talking about the Space Corporation. Over the past 3 years, we have been thinking about how do we engage Maine a little bit more in the new space economy. You know, we call it the new space economy because in the past, government used to fund the space development and exploration, and now it's gone to the private sector, the small businesses, and it's becoming more accessible, cheaper. Electronics are becoming much smaller, so you can develop satellites no bigger than a loaf of bread. Again, this is a focus of Blue Shift and other companies. So we thought, how can we engage Maine more into that? And the other factor, too, is that how can we use that to further enhance economic growth in this state. But from my perspective, my real desire is to keep Maine high school graduates and college graduates, keep them in Maine and not send them outside. They need to have a reason to stay in this state. And I think this new space economy provides that exciting opportunity to become business owners, entrepreneurs, researchers, and higher education and all of that sort. So, and we also realize that on a global front, the growth of a particular segment of the space industry, primarily small satellite, is growing from about 4 billion, I believe, per year in 2018, is projected to grow to 24 billion in 2030, I believe. So we asked the question, can Maine capture a portion of that? And do we have the assets? Do we have the willingness to do that? What do we have that allows us to really kind of shoot for the moon, so to speak? So we realize several factors. One is that we have great assets in the former Naval Air Base in Brunswick, Limestone with the former Air Force Base there. We have great R&D capacity at our higher education institutions, primarily at the University of Maine and the University of Southern Maine. Great educational programs, not only at the University of Maine system, but the community college systems. And also a real critical part about that is that Maine on the east coast of the United States sits very well geographically to support launches of rockets that are small, and I have to emphasize that, small rockets with small satellites, into polar orbits. And this is a trend of the business community in the aerospace industry and the space industry that's looking for that. And one does not exist in the eastern seaport of the United States.
Oh, interesting. And Sasha, I'll let you pick up from there. What makes Maine such a great place to launch smaller rockets? And why smaller rockets and not larger rockets? Oh, shoot, you're on mute. If you could unmute and you can
My apologies.
That way.
Yeah, I So the, what makes Maine really great is our southern facing coastline allows us to launch directly over the ocean. So towards Antarctica, actually, and put satellites into this particular orbit called a pole orbit. Very esoteric, but what it basically means is this orbit is an orbit that's needed to put up these tiny satellites to provide broadband communications. And literally there's companies out there that are gonna make it so you can use your cell phone anywhere you want in the world, no matter, or you're deep in the forest, or if I'm just going from here to home, which is not too far away, I can still maintain my cell phone access all the way through. And they need this polar orbit. In this, only Maine has the ability to access this orbit on the entire eastern seaboard. So you can't do that from Cape Canaveral. You can't do this from Wallops, Virginia. The only places you can do this are like military bases over in the West Coast and another spaceport based up off of an island off of Alaska. Beautiful area, surely. So it's a real opportunity. And then, you know, I think the other thing that makes Maine so great is that we are growing people every year and graduating them and exporting them. And this kind of gets to what Terry was saying. Every year, I'm one of them, and some of the folks that work here are many of them. This perhaps our greatest export in our state is our people. And these are folks that are going to work for SpaceX, for the Blue Origins, for other space companies throughout the country. And you know, fundamentally, I think what we're looking forward to both as Blue Shift, and I think also Terry is with the Maine Space Grant Consortium, is we want to bring those people back home. We want to attract them back home and have ample opportunities beyond our heritage industries to work here.
Now, Sasha, I want to ask you specifically about launches in the future. You have announced that your next launch will be in Florida. But then after that, you have stated publicly that you'd like to come back to Maine and find another launch site. What are you looking at? Perhaps back in Limestone?
You know, Limestone itself doesn't work, but actually that area sort of west of there possibly could work for some of our suborbital launches. Suborbital just means the rocket goes up to space and parachutes back down. A lot like what happened with Stardust, just higher. But ultimately, we need to find a place off the coast of Maine where we can get access to launching right over the ocean and not over people and property. So that's really key. And, you know, since in the last couple of, really the last few months, and then especially in the last few weeks, we've had a number of communities outreach to us suggesting that we might want to talk to them to launch from these coastal communities. So it's all very much in flux. The important thing for us was with Kennedy and launching from there, they actually reached out to us right after we launched Stardust, but we told them, no, we're not going to launch from Kennedy maybe 8 years from now, but our focus is Maine. So it's flipped around a little bit. Instead, our focus will be Maine, but in the short term, we need to get something up into space to qualify for a NASA program so that researchers can pay us to launch our science payloads up to space. So we've got to get it done, and we have a very tight timeline to get this done. And we're just disconnecting it from locating the place in Maine just yet.
All right. But you're still committed to trying to find a place in Maine for future launches.
Absolutely. Yeah. Our vision for this is not only launching from Maine, but manufacturing from Maine. We've gone from thinking that we were going to develop 45 to 50 jobs in Maine to now we've realized it's going to be somewhere between 150 and 250 jobs. And these are high paying aerospace industry jobs. And while, you know, it sounds cheesy, but a lot of people will say, you know, this is rocket science. Sure. It's rocket science. Developing the rocket, developing how we're going to do this rocket science, but the manufacturing part, which is where the bulk of our jobs are going to be, that is not rocket science. That is, you know, people know how to use machines, for like CNC machines, mills, who can do layup, people who can build boats, can build ships, can build rocket ships. And these are the talented individuals we need. People know how to do wiring, plumbing. These are the talented individuals we need. And we have these people already here in Maine in very, you know, in closely related industries. And in some cases, absolutely the same industry as Terry was indicating. There are many other aerospace related industry companies in the state.
Well, calling us now is Maine State Senator Maddie Daughtry from Cumberland. Thanks so much for calling in, Senator Daughtry.
Thank you so much for having me.
I understand you have proposed something called the Maine Space Corporation. Tell us what you've proposed and why you think it's needed.
Absolutely. So this bill, 1923, which is an act to establish the Maine Space Corporation, really builds off of a lot of the work that I know Sasha has been discussing, as well as Terry. And this really gives us a chance to sort of put Maine on the map. I mean, Maine is uniquely positioned to be a leader in this industry due to our location and a multitude of other factors. But what we want to make sure is that we have a strong public-private partnership to not only assist amazing organizations like Blue Shift and other businesses, but also make sure that we are looking out for the needs of Mainers and making sure that we're working collaboratively. And it creates an entity that really can help coordinate not only with our higher education institutions, making sure that we are training the next generation of folks, just like Sasha was saying about, you know, creating those jobs. You know, this is making sure that we are training and onboarding folks to be into these fields right here. And it also helps, you know, entities when they're trying to work in this sphere to be able to have an entity to come to help them, you know, find locations, to be able to work with them on prototyping. And really, I think it's an incredible opportunity for Maine to work with everyone to really set the dialogue. And what makes me really excited about this is, you know, if you look at the aerospace industry across the globe, you know, Maine has a chance to really shift the dialogue and really be a leader on environmentally friendly launches, where we are to be able to get into these low Earth orbits, uses less energy with a traditional rocket. But folks like Sasha and Blue Shift are really pioneering these environmentally friendly launches. And so we made it clear in the committee process that we wanted to, you know, put a line in the sand and say Maine's going to be a leader on, you know, place-based environmentally friendly launches that really helps, you know, be a leader on this. And we've also made it clear that, you know, with the structure of the corporation, that this is the whole state, it's not one region alone, and that we're all working together to see how we can make this happen.
We're going to hear later on in the program, Maddie, from some people who are opposed to the corporation, the idea of even trying to promote an aerospace industry in Maine. What do you say to them?
I really urge them to read the amended bill. We've taken care of a lot of concerns that were rightfully brought up during the bill process, and we have parameters about the environmental impact on the state. But what I would say is this is really a chance for Maine to be a leader. I mean, humans have looked to the stars as long as we've existed. And what we're talking about right now, these rockets are not, you know, what a lot of people think of. We're talking about very small payloads. You know, UMaine was talking about how it's about the size of a bread box. And a lot of these are used predominantly for research. And this is the type of research that helps us on everything from, you know, protecting our planet, responding to the climate crisis, but it really helps us be at the forefront of making sure we're looking and taking care of not only our state, but our whole species. And so if we are going to be having launches, you know, wouldn't we want Maine to be on the forefront of this, but also saying clearly that what makes Maine so special is our quality of place and, you know, our environment, and really changing and saying and holding the aerospace industry accountable that we really want to make things different. And so I really hope for folks, you know, who are concerned about this, you know, I have learned over the last 4 years working on this bill of how exciting this industry is, how responsive it is, and how it's not what we think of. You know, this isn't Star Trek. This isn't like what we're seeing with Jeff Bezos or with Elon Musk companies. These are not large passenger ships. These are really responsive research-based institutions and launches that really benefit us as a whole. And as long as we're, you know, looking at the stars, we're always going to need to keep innovating and researching. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity for our state.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. That's Maddie Daughtry. She is a state senator and she represents Maine Senate District 24. We do need to take a quick break. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling, with help from Angus Goggin Home Health Care and Hospice, helping Medicare patients with palliative and hospice care, at home or at their hospice house in Auburn, and University Credit Union, providing financial options to live life on your terms. UCUMaine.com.
On the next Science Friday, poaching plants like rare and valuable succulents. Demand for plants like these skyrocketed during the pandemic, and poachers will go to great lengths to nab them.
you are a collector and you are taking these from the wild, you could potentially take and wipe out the entire wild population.
The World of Wildlife Crime on Science Friday from WNYC Studios.
Friday afternoon at 2 on Maine Public Radio. Tonight at 10:30 on Maine Public Television, we'll bring you Zelensky, the man who took on Putin, a new 30-minute profile exploring the rise of the entertainer who became an improbable wartime leader. The film explores the man behind the scenes of game-changing social media and TV appearances, which have encapsulated the defiant response of the nation. That's Zelensky, the man who took on Putin, tonight at 10:30 and Saturday evening at 7 on Maine Public Television.
And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. We are talking about aerospace in Maine. With me today, Terry Shahada, who is director of NASA's Maine Space Grant Consortium and EPSCoR program, and Sasha Derry, CEO of Blue Shift Aerospace. You can share your comments and questions by email, talk@mainepublic.org. You can comment on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Terry Shahada, as we were talking to Senator Daughtry just a couple minutes ago, I know you wanted to jump in, but I didn't let you because we had to go to a break. What did you want to add to what she had to say?
Well, I just wanted to, what I wanted to say is that the major responsibility of the proposed corporation is to manage the growth and development of the Maine Space Complex. And it's critical to people understand what that really means, because it's not only about launching rockets. There's a lot of stuff, infrastructure and opportunities related to that. So the complex is made up of three units: the Data Analytical Center, which is responsible for uploading, downloading data, massaging it, cleaning it up, and providing it to entrepreneurs that could be used for a variety of applications and create business opportunities and to support communities and towns and things of that nature and industries. The second business unit is the Innovation Hub, which we're looking at locating at the Brunswick Lining with a spoke in Limestone. And that is to do a lot of the research and development, a lot of the commercialization, a K-12 opportunity with teachers and students, and possibly some tourism. And the third is the launch sites. Those are the three-legged stools of the complex. So I just want to make sure that people understand that when we talk about the corporation, it's not only about launching rockets, it's about creating the job opportunities through the three-legged stools that are really critical for us getting into the space economy. And lastly, Jennifer, the reason we did that is because when we look at other sites across the country, they were all about spaceports, just about like having an airport with aircraft landing and taking off. That was not a good business model, but having those other, the Innovation Hub and the Data Analytical Center, you're making a very strong, compelling organization that would support the new space economy in the state that's not necessarily relying solely on the rocket launches.
Joining us now is Carrie Peabody from the town of Jonesport, and she chairs the town's Aerospace Committee. Thanks so much for calling in, Carrie.
Thank you.
So we mentioned really briefly in the beginning of the program that Jonesport had decided against, and there was opposition in your community to having Blue Shift have a launch there, but we didn't go into depth on that. Tell me what happened in Jonesport. Tell me how your committee formed, and tell me about the vote and sort of what the discussion is in your community.
Sure, we'd be happy to. Jonesport has actually learned more about Blue Shift. It was toward the latter part of the fall season, and prior to that, the launch site really wasn't divulged. We didn't really know that Jonesport was on the map for Blue Shift until sometime, I believe it was in early October. And at that time, many public forums were being conducted by Sasha Derry, which was wonderful, and people were informed based on launch activity and his rocket plans for the town of Jonesport. But when that happened, unfortunately, people not knowing about where it was going to be did generate some concern. And through a series of meetings, it was determined that the town needed to do a little more research to find out how everybody felt. So that prompted a moratorium to be put in place to give us time to work through the process and to develop an aerospace ordinance because the town presently does not have one. So we have no way of addressing the development and operation of aerospace activities. And that also includes the launching of rockets. So we also do not have it in our comprehensive plan. In order to be able to foster the industry, we would have to have some method for regulation.
All right. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. So once the moratorium was put in place, the Aerospace Committee was put in place, and we conducted a survey. And the survey did produce an 80% result against rockets. 17% were unconditional. That meant if certain things were done, then maybe they might consider it. And 3% were in favor. We also conducted a town vote just recently on Monday, the 14th of March, and that produced 98 people against rockets, and then we had 25 wanting them. So, again, we've had a very high consensus against this industry in town.
Why do you think, Carrie, that what are the main reasons that people don't want to have the rocket launch there?
Well, Jonesport is pretty much known as a fishing community, a sleepy community. Doesn't have a lot going on there, and it's the concerns pretty much have been over logistics and operations of launches in the location that was designated, which is Water Island. Happens to fall in an environmental area. It also happens to be in an area where fishermen need to pass through a reach. So there were concerns about the safety zone and the shutdown for launches, and fishermen were worried about losing wages. They were concerned about potential noise, safety zone issues with regard to getting in and out of port. They didn't particularly care for having to wait around for a launch. So that was an issue. And also there were many issues concerning property values, effects on our current ecotourism that we do have. We do have a lot of environmental related activities going on. Infrastructure concerns is another thing. The town is just not set up for a lot of people to be coming to town. We don't have facilities. So those were some of the primaries. We also had issues concerning, I have some other notes here on the launch times. I know that Sasha had offered to do them on Sundays and on weekends, and that was a problem for people that vacation here or are retired here. They just didn't see that as being conducive to their quality of life.
All right, Sasha, I'm going to let you weigh in a little bit and ask you what you've learned from the Jonesport experience and what you, what kind of message at this point you'd like to give to the people of Jonesport.
Yeah, no, it was, I went up a number of times and I only found out about Water Island, I think it was maybe end of August or September. And it was a really great experience for me. I mean, it was tough because it was definitely a learning experience. And I got to meet a lot of really interesting people who were, sincerely concerned. A lot of stuff that Carrie was saying there came up in the town hall meetings. And, for the most part, everybody was really wonderful in terms of giving me honest, sincere feedback. And that was, a lot of the times we went up there, that was what it was all about, was sort of understanding, look, if we did this, what would it mean? How could we operate in a way that was respectful of everyone in town? And kind of sharing with them what we're really doing as opposed to, what you see on the TV with Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk. So, I think that probably the biggest takeaway was how to work in a way that doesn't inconvenience the fishing industry. And, our business plan is to take away business from other rocket companies and not in any way interfere with commerce on the oceans. And so that was a lot of what we figured out was, and this was coming from the fishermen there in Jonesport and Beals and the surrounding areas, was times to operate that would, when people are generally not operating, not fishing. And we actually, some of these things we learned in the very first of our multiple town hall meetings. So, I think it was, overall, we learned tons from that. We learned the concerns and sometimes the misconceptions, the things that, wherever we go in Maine, these are things that we've learned and that we can share really quickly with the community. Here's what we're really doing that might be common concerns that folks would have otherwise.
And Carrie, let me ask you this. You said that there's a moratorium now. How long does the moratorium last?
Put in place for 6 months. It will end on May 29th. And
when do you hope to have the ordinance written by?
Well, actually, we just met last night. We are in the process of analyzing our survey data. We covered several different industry sectors and received feedback on each. Those include economic impacts, tourism and recreation, environmental, fishing and marine industry, health and safety, infrastructure, property impacts, and quality of life. And through each of those industry sectors, we receive feedback and data. So those will be incorporated into the ordinance because Jones Porters are driving the ordinance. This is a community ordinance. We've never had one before. The people speak, and that's what the Aerospace Committee is representing, the people of Jonesport. So All we right. plan to write an ordinance in the next few weeks. We have to complete it by May 29th.
All right. Well, Carrie, I so appreciate you calling in. I have to confess, I smiled when I said, when I heard you say that the town does not have an aerospace ordinance in place, because I'm going to imagine that most towns in Maine do not have an aerospace ordinance in place.
This is true. We are going to probably be the first one to have that. And we have been approached by other folks in other towns that are interested in our process, looking to adopt it. Those towns, as Derry knows, Sasha Derry knows, are east of Jonesport, and we do not know if others will fall asleep down the line, so I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and Honora, in your comprehensive plan, you know, because that's something that many towns do every decade or so, and the world's moving so fast. Carrie Peabody, thank you so much for calling in and being part of the show today at Jonesport Aerospace Committee. I want to ask you both, and maybe Terry, I'll send this to you. I'm hearing in Carrie's voice something that we may be hearing in a lot of coastal communities that in which fishing is a very big part of the economy, the heritage, and fishing is already under so many other pressures right now, that I can see other towns in the same place that Jonesport is and feeling a resistance to a launch site. Terry, what would you say to those communities?
I was pretty glad I could hear what Carrie was trying to say, because we have been very careful in terms of how the corporation would address this. I would not be surprised if many communities along the coast are feeling the same, have the same opinion as Jonesport. And I think there's a lot of education and outreach that needs to be done. When the corporation gets established and it's looking at siting locations for potential launch sites, it's not going to be a top-down situation in the sense it's not going to be, the corporation's not going to go into a town and say, hey, we selected you. Give us your input, but it's not going to matter. What the corporation is going to do is going to do a kind of a bottom-up approach. It's going to be developing requirements for launch sites and what you need to do for safety and all that stuff, and then invite communities to apply to be considered for launch sites. Those that get selected, the corporation would look at the variety of infrastructure development, financial support for communities, and other things to make it a little bit more easier for them to become involved, and also address some of the concerns of the fishing industry, the lobstering industry, the aquaculture industry. Is what can be done to minimize and, in fact, possibly reimburse some of the members of that industry for the time that they're not going to be fishing, depending on when the launch schedule is when the launch is scheduled. So there's a lot of things that need to be done, but definitely the community needs to take the lead on that. The corporation is not going to dictate where those sites are. It has to come from the community. And that's kind of basically the approach that we're following.
Sasha.
Yeah, I want to share with everybody, make sure it's clear, there's a distinction between what the Maine Spaceport Corporation is doing and what Blue Shift is doing. They are parallel efforts. And I think the thing that we're most enthusiastic about this possible bill is the educational elements of the bill and the supporting careers and in the new space industry. However, the desire to create a launch location is actually a parallel effort. We're going ahead to create our very small launch site. You know, that island, which the entire island that we were looking at in Jonesport could fit within an entire launch pad in Kennedy. And we're only using a few hundred feet of that little island. So it's an order of magnitude smaller, or orders of magnitude smaller. But I also want to say that, you know, what we're looking to do is develop our own launch site, our own launch facilities, and have ownership around it. And, you know, we have a real commitment to sustainability, to protecting our environment. This is the mission and the vision of our company. And, you know, we will not be using petroleum within our rockets. And for us, it's not only important to protect the environment, but, you know, we fundamentally love our fishing industry here in Maine. And we believe that we can work in harmony with all Mainers we work with, or who are working the waters or recreating in the waters off of Maine. And so we look to seek out that harmony. We are Mainers ourselves, and we want to respect existing industries and people who really love our state and our state resources.
All right. Well, we do need to take another quick break. We are talking about aerospace, the future of the aerospace industry in Maine. If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet @MaineCalling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling, with help from Evergreen Home Performance, helping Maine meet its Climate Action Plan goals with air sealing and insulation services. More at evergreenyourhome.com. And Maine Community Foundation, offering a new giving together platform of Maine projects that donors can review and support. MaineCF.org.
I'm Jane Clayson. The $1.5 trillion spending bill President Biden signed does not include additional COVID response funding. And experts are worried the country won't be prepared for a new variant and another surge. And we'll get the latest from Ukraine and the fight against invading Russian forces. That's next time on Here and Now.
Join us for Here and Now today at noon.
China is cracking down on cryptocurrency mining, so the miners over there are moving over here, and the opportunities seem promising.
I think of the rainbow, Lucky Charms, right? And it's like, holy cow, we have found it.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Crypto moves from east to west. Next time on Marketplace.
Join us for Marketplace today at 6:30.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, the outlook for more aerospace development in Maine and what that might look like. Joining me, Sasha Derry with Blue Shift Aerospace and Terry Shahada with the Maine Space Grant Consortium. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet @MaineCalling or post to our Facebook page or to Instagram. Joining us now is Hillary Lister. Hillary is a consultant and part of the coalition opposing public funding for rocket launch facilities. Hi, Hillary, and thanks so much for calling in.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We heard earlier about the Maine Space Corporation proposal. You, as well as others, have spoken up against the idea. What are your concerns?
Well, most of us only really became aware of it when, after a public hearing that was held on LD 1923, which would establish a public-private partnership and create this Maine Space Corporation. And looking into the bill and hearing some of the testimony at the hearing created a lot of concern, both on the expense to the public with this being a public-private partnership, which seems like it would send public funding to private industry, which is already a very profitable industry. And what was emphasized throughout the hearing was the expense of building these launch facilities. Also concerns about multiple military contractors were speaking in support of this. So we are definitely concerned that, as has happened in other states, something that starts off as a civilian or educational facility could be either used, contracted out, or used for military purposes. And then just a lot of concerns that were brought up by people in Jonesport the fact that there are no clear regulations on this industry yet. So it just feels like we're rushing ahead to establish what would be a quasi-governmental entity to regulate the industry itself at a time when we're only just now seeing what this industry would bring for impacts on communities that depend, in a lot of cases, on fisheries, on a clean environment, dark night skies. All of these things brought together a pretty diverse mix of people from around the state who are calling on our legislators to vote no on LD 1923 and give people the time to figure out how this industry can work in Maine in a way that benefits Maine people and doesn't either bring risk to our environment or potentially make Maine a target militarily. And as we brought up throughout the hearing, they are looking at rocket launch locations on the northern border and eastern border of the state, which have traditionally been militarily strategic points.
Right. So, Hillary, I want to make this very clear. You're not opposed to all aerospace development. You just feel as though this is happening too quickly and not being watched or regulated closely enough.
That's correct. I love astronomy. I've been interested in astronomy and aerospace my whole life, and I think this is something that can bring a lot of benefit to Maine, but it needs to have public oversight, and if it's private industry, it shouldn't depend on public funding, and there's a lot of concerns that by creating a public-private partnership, Maine people could be on the hook for many decades for what become very costly facilities once they're both to establish and to keep operating.
All right. Well, you're still on the line, I'm going to give Terry a chance to respond to your concerns. Terry, do you hear what Hillary's saying, and can you address some of those?
Hi, Hillary.
Hi.
And I'd love to have a conversation with you offline so we can share our thoughts. But specifically, okay. I'm not going to take them in order, Jennifer, but just as comes to my mind. As it relates to military use, I've heard that concern. The current amendments in the bill very specifically restrict the use of any of the entire complex. I'm not only talking about launch sites, but the entire complex to research, commercial, and educational use, not for purpose of launching rockets. And I know the concern about what Alaska did and New Zealand and so on and so forth. And that was not the business model that will follow, that the corporation will follow. So it's restricted, no use for launching missiles or that those concerns. In terms of the timeline, remember that the complex has those three business units. What we're going to do, what the corporation is going to do is really start on the Innovation Hub and a Data Analytical Center at the same time working with Sasha and Blue Shift to help Sasha secure whatever he really needs to secure. We're looking at, outside of what Sasha's needs are, we're looking at a five-year timeline before any of the complex's units really get started. And that's going to provide sufficient time to have some public input to address some of the concerns, to have the financial assets, as well as the infrastructure assets in place. This corporation is not seeking state funds. I want to be absolutely clear. It's not asking for state funds. It has the authority to issue bonds. It has the authority to go after and get federal infrastructure funding to support the development of the facilities that would be needed for research and development, education, and yes, some of the launch sites that might be cited. Those funds are not they're not to bolster private sector. For goodness sake, Sasha gets the funds that he needs. He needs additional support, but it's not to support the development of the private sector, but it's to support the infrastructure that the private sector will need. But the emphasis too is on research and development. We want to support higher education to do research. We want to support K through 12 to engage our students. We want to support workforce development activities so we can get the necessary workforce to work in this industry. So there's a variety of uses for the funds that this corporation would seek, but not state funds. I just want to make that absolutely clear.
All right. Hillary, anything else you'd like to add?
I'm hopeful that that will be the case. I've seen legislation put restrictions in place on one thing and then that change over the years. And I still have concerns that it's more than just the one company, Blue Shift. There's a number of companies that are definitely military contractors who seem to be interested and involved in this. But I really appreciate the conversation and what's going on in the state for really trying to figure out how this can work for people and not be a risk.
Well, Hillary, I so appreciate you calling into the program today. Hillary Lister is a consultant with an organization called Maine Matters. We're going to go to a couple questions coming in from the audience. Warren asks, how are you factoring in your work the issue of space clutter with all the satellites that are beginning to fill out the outer world? Sasha?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. It's definitely a real concern. And you see things like, you know, the Chinese, the Russian blowing up their bigger satellites, creating more clutter yet. First and foremost, we're launching into low Earth orbit, and we're launching, which is, you know, as it sounds, very close to the Earth, going around the Earth. And two, we're launching really, really small satellites. And what that means is that they, over time, and usually in the course anywhere from 1 year to up as many as 5 years, burn up in the atmosphere. They literally can't stay up there because they don't have the propulsion on board, because they're not those big satellites. So that clutter just inherently goes away over time. And, a lot of the concerns for the clutter comes from the higher altitudes and higher orbits. It doesn't mean that you can't have issues with low Earth orbit. So that is definitely a concern. It's a concern for us, it's also an opportunity. There are companies that we hope to be launching for, which will be precisely doing that. So I think of them as like the garbage trucks for space. They're working on technologies that can pull things out of orbit that are causing problems. So I see it as both an opportunity, absolutely a concern, and something that's not inherently we're going to be producing more of, because our satellites inherently come down.
Yeah, well, let me ask you, what can a little satellite the size of a bread box that's going to burn up in a couple of years do? What will your satellites do? What is your vision for them?
Sure, and I use the wrong word, that it's not ours, but our customers. And what they would be doing is providing broadband communications, you know, literally internet, high-speed internet. So if you're, whether you're in Eastport, Portland, Presque Isle, or somewhere in the middle of all that, you're able to get internet access and high-speed internet access. Another companies, like there's a company called Link that's developing the ability to, you know, use your cell phone no matter where you are. There's other ones that are doing Earth imaging. So a lot of the stuff we see in Ukraine, those high detailed images, those are coming from these tiny little satellites that are looking down on Earth and taking pictures once every day. And then there's all these aspects of looking at the greenhouse gases, the effect of like algae growth and how is CO2 and how is our atmosphere changing and climate in general, all these science-based technologies that are going up there. And then whatever the main students come up with from after there.
Whatever the main students come up with after there. Okay, another email from William, and this is also for you, Sasha. He writes, Sasha, please explain how you're financing Blue Shift Aerospace.
Yeah, thank you, William. So we've, another novel way, I don't know if we're the first, but we've got to be one of the few companies that we're being crowd equity funded. So literally people putting as little as like $100 can invest in future equity in our company through wefunder.com. And we have a campaign that's just ending at the end of this, actually the 4th of April. And we've almost raised $1 million, and that's funding the development of our full-size engines. And then we'll transition to a larger round that allow us to fund this launch ultimately down in Kennedy and then hopefully here in the state of Maine. So I think we're really novel. It's sort of democratizing going into space, the development of space technology. It's not just one big, large, monolithic defense company. It's everybody. It's my neighbors, literally, my friends, my family, and literally 1,000 people that have invested in us across the world.
Terry Shahada, what do you see as the future if we're looking 10 years down the road? How many people in Maine are employed in the aerospace industry? How many rockets are launching every year in Maine?
That's a good question. We have done an economic impact analysis, and that's only projected. So we're looking at the next 25 years that If all three elements of the complex are put into place, the at minimum it's around 55 or 6,000 jobs in this particular sector. That doesn't include some of the spin-offs, the entrepreneurships that get created and other businesses that get created, and there a lot of contributions to tax base. I see in the next 20 years is the state of Maine taking a leadership role in creating these new exciting businesses, research, as well as giving an opportunity for our students to stay here in the state. And this is fundamentally what this is about, is really to provide opportunities to avoid the brain drain, to keep our kids here in the state so that they can create a place for them with their families and become engaged in the businesses. But it's only not about businesses or works or jobs in this new space economy, but you can leverage the assets and the technology that would come out of that economy to support the forestry industry, the manufacturing industry, the lobster industry, aquaculture, marine. It's all about that. So Jennifer, I've been here since 68. I went to Orono High School, went to University of Maine. And ever since then, I've seen the state really struggled with the export of our students, but struggle with how can we build our economy to support but go beyond our natural-based industry. And finally, we have come to a point that we can do this. We can do it with a new space economy. And what I'd hate to see is for the state to shoot itself in the foot to avoid this opportunity to go forward and deal with some of the issues that Carrie had mentioned, that others have mentioned, but we can do it in a conscious way, in an environmentally friendly way, yet move forward with creating a new economy that supports the other businesses in this state.
All right, Sasha, we have just a few seconds left. Anything you want to add to what Terry said?
Yeah, no, I think that Terry said it really well. This is an exciting time, just in our sector of this new space industry, as we call it. Just to launch these tiny satellites up is a $28 billion market. It's an incredible opportunity for the whole state of Maine. And that's just that one little sector, let alone what all these other entrepreneurs who hopefully develop here in the state and bring to the state will be doing with space. And it's really exciting. We should embrace this. We need to diversify our economy and go beyond our heritage industries. Let's grow our state and let's make it attractive for our students to come back and people who have graduated to come back, people like myself, and take up residence here in Maine and to grow our capabilities and our strength as a state.
Well, thank you both for joining us today. The voice you just heard, Sasha Derry, CEO and founder of Blue Shift Aerospace. Also with us, Terry Shahada, Executive Director of NASA's Maine Space Grant Consortium. Today's sound engineer was KG Akimoladun. Our theme song was composed by Mike Jandro. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. And you can visit mainecalling.org to find the archive of our past shows and to subscribe to Maine Calling's weekly newsletter. Each week, we'll let you know what's coming up in the next week. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.